Brothers and sisters, would you turn in your Bibles, please, to Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42. If you're able, when you're ready, would you please stand for the reading of God's holy and inerrant word, Job 42. Hear the very words of God. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Hear, and I will speak, I will question you, and you make it known to me. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. And then would you turn over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James 1 verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Let's pray. Father in heaven, these are your very words, and now we pray for your very spirit to be at work in us, shaping our thinking, working in our hearts, conforming us to Christ. Help us to listen, to really listen by your spirit, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you're anything like me, you will look back in your childhood and think, wow, what a wee cherub I was. What a well-behaved son. But the reality is, there were times, at least inwardly, when I grumbled against my parents in my heart, where I resented my parents, particularly if A, I didn't get my own way, or B, they disciplined me. I even imagined that they were against me. They weren't for me. They were against me in those times, that somehow they were being unloving. And I look back now and I think, My parents were wonderful parents. And they still are wonderful parents, and they were for me. They were for me even when I didn't get my own way. And even on those rare occasions when they had to discipline me. Our Father is a loving Father. And sometimes, if things don't go the way we like, we can imagine that He is somehow against us, that He is somehow harsh or unloving. In fact, we might even accuse Him or blame Him somehow for our own sin, verse 13. But this is the reality. Every good and perfect gift is from Him, verse 17. Even the parasmos, even the trials and afflictions, they're personalized gifts from Him for our good, verses 2 and 4. And even the best gift, even our salvation, is from Him, verse 18. It was His will that He brought His forth. And I have been encouraged this week by people in this congregation that even in the hard providences, they're not resenting God. They know God is with them, and they know God is for them. And they've testified, even to use one person's language, even tracing God's blessings through it all. And so then we come into verse 19, and verse 19 begins with host eh, or the ESV translates it know this, but it's the idea of so then, or therefore. Now, why does James say that? Therefore, what's the therefore? Therefore. And what James is saying is this. In light of the fact that God is only ever good towards us, only ever faithful towards us, in light of the fact that you don't have a biblical leg to stand on to resent or accuse God of anything, in light of the fact that God doesn't tempt us to sin, in fact, He's only ever for us. In light of the fact that even the hard providences are forged in love, in light of the fact that every single good and perfect gift is from above, including our salvation, hoste, therefore, this is how you ought to live in verses 19 to 20. Well, really, it's the rest of the letter. In light of all of that, therefore, this is how you ought to live. And doesn't that make all the difference? If your parents are teaching you or training you how to live, and they're little Napoleons, they're capricious taskmasters. It makes all the difference. If they were good and loving and faithful and worthy to be respected and worthy to be revered and worthy to be adored, it makes all the difference. I want God to show me how to live. Why? Because I love Him and I respect Him and I'm thankful for Him, and I want to please Him. And I'm saying verses 1 through 18 make all the difference as we go now into verse 19 onwards. Well, I have three headings this evening. Stop, look, and listen. Not before you cross the road, just stop, look, and listen. First of all, stop. I want you to see stop in verses 19 through 21. Look at verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. We are to stop in reference to God. Do you remember Peter in the Mount of Transfiguration? And there he is, and he's just jibber-jabbering away. Jesus is there revealing his glory, and Peter begins to speak because he doesn't know what to say. And what does God say? God says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Hear him." We've looked at this the past several weeks in Ecclesiastes. How when we come into the house of the Lord, we're to guard our steps. It's better to draw near to listen. We considered Martha and Mary, and Martha was troubled and anxious about many things, Jesus says. She was buzzing around. She wasn't listening. But Mary chose the good portion as she sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And James is saying, that's what we're to be like. We're to stop and be quick to hear and slow to speak. And don't you see, Christian, that especially in light of God's goodness, we need to stop and we need to listen to him. As I said the other week, it's this month, I guess officially, 10 years of ministry. And I have seen the parable of the sower unfold before me as the word is preached, the different responses to the word. I've seen all four. And I've seen the word land on the path. The hardened hearts, the people who don't absorb it, don't listen to it, and the birds swoop down and snatch it away. I've seen Christians with massive gaping blind spots in their life, but they're not listening. And the preaching of the word doesn't make a jot of difference. Because we can be so hard of hearing, and I can be so hard of hearing. And James is saying, no, we need to be quick to listen. And this reminds me of Job. Now, Job didn't sin against the Lord, but he did want to give God what for. The two words in Job 39 are, he contends and argues. That's the two words, he contends with and argues with the Lord. But then God speaks and he points to his own power and glory. And Job says, "Behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you?" And he stops and he listens. And that's what we need to be like with God, slow to speak and quick to listen. Now, we also got to be like this, should be like this, with other people as well, because it's so easy for us to be slow to hear and quick to speak and quick to be angry with other people. Now, sometimes it's within this context. And we see that throughout the letter of James in chapter 4:11, for example, in chapter 5:9. Sometimes we're quick to speak and quick to anger with other Christians in the congregation. But I don't know about you this evening, but for me, it's so much easier to be slow to listen, and quick to speak, and quick to anger with my wife. Within the marriage relationship, when you're talking to your spouse and they're talking to you and you're just thinking about what you're going to say next. The next comeback, yeah, but only because. and pointing the finger and maximizing their sin and minimizing my own sin and declaring how we've been wronged, and we can be slow to hear and quick to speak and quick to anger. Or even parents. Isn't it so easy, parents, to be impatient with our children? I remember a man saying a few years ago, and it stuck with me ever since. I thought it was very helpful advice. We don't discipline our children for being children. Discipline them when they're naughty. Give them a jolly good spanking. But don't discipline them for being children. But sometimes we do that because we're quick to anger. Or even the way we go about disciplining our children. Instead of calmly taking them aside, telling them what they've done wrong, praying with them, and then giving them a jolly good spanking, and then comforting them if they need it. We react, quick to speak, quick to anger. And this is what we can be like with other people, all sorts of kinds of relationships. I'm not saying by any means that I have got it perfect, but I will tell you this, that something that's been very helpful for me to have memorized is BWAX. BWAX. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God and Christ forgave you. And that's so helpful, BWAX, to have it there, because I know that I am slow to hear and quick to speak and quick to anger. And James is saying, no, stop. Be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. So that's stop. Secondly, the second heading this evening is look. Look in verse 21. Look at verse 21. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, notice in verse 18, God uses the word to save us in the first place. God brings us forth by his word and spirit. And I think that's talking about our salvation in the first place. But then God continues to use the word, not just to teach us, but to empower us, if you like, to continue on living the Christian life, whether it's to be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to anger, whether it's to be godly parents or children or husbands or wives, whether it's to put away ruperia, dirtiness and rampant wickedness, the Holy Spirit uses the words to sanctify us. The Larger Catechism, 155, says this. Listen to this. The Spirit of God makes the reading, but especially the preaching of the word, an effectual means of enlightening, convincing, and humbling sinners, of driving them out of themselves and drawing them unto Christ. It goes on. Of conforming them into his image, and subduing them to his will, of strengthening them against temptations and corruptions, of building them up in grace, and establishing their hearts in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. Can you see how essential it is, the word is, to our sanctification? And that's why James says, receive it. Receive it with meekness. Receive with meekness the implanted word. Look at it. Read it. Listen to it. Receive it with meekness. It's to be treated as the very word of God. Look at it as his words. Now, we live in a 100-mile-per-hour world, and we have all these distractions. And as I said the other week, our concentration spans seem to be getting less and less, and therefore it's all the more important that as individuals and as families, fathers, that we are in the Word all the time. And more than that, God has given us another provision. He's given us this Sabbath. He's given us this one day set apart to hear and be under his word, the public reading and preaching of the word of God. And this is important, that we read and that we hear the word, that we're Sarahs and not Susies, that we're deliberate and intentional on the Sabbath day. And I think there's another consideration here as well, something else that goes with receiving the word with meekness, and that is that we keep ourselves unstained from the world. That comes up in verse 27. We keep ourselves unstained from the world. You know, there's only one letter difference between word and world, but those two words are very important. And we have to ask the question, can I grow in grace? Can I be enlightened by the word if I'm just willfully keep drenching my mind in worldliness? If I spend 6 days exposing my mind to unbelievers, Netflix after Netflix after Netflix of junk, can I expect to receive the word with meekness? No, James says, keep yourself unstained from the world. Whatever that looks like for you, whatever changes in your life need to be made, keep yourself unstained from the world in order that you may receive the word with meekness. See it, hear it, look at the word. And then finally, listen. Listen in verses 22 through 27. Let's read them. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. We need to listen. And when I say listen, I mean applying what we hear in the Word of God to our lives. I mean a change of behavior. I mean putting theory into practice. I mean being a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. James gives this illustration. He says, if you don't practice the word, you're like a man who katanoeo, who examines his face in the mirror. And he sees himself, he's examining himself, and oh yeah, I need to shave. Oh yeah, I've got a burster there. I need to burst that. But then he just walks away and he doesn't do anything. It's like the person who goes to visit Dr. O. And Dr. O says, yeah, you've got, I don't know, heart disease and fatty liver. You need to cut out all the fatty foods. Well, I appreciate that, Dr. O. And then they head straight to Pals. Guaranteed heart attack. No change. And James is saying, don't be like that. Don't read the word. Don't hear the word. And then that's it. Take note of it, I ask the Lord, show me. Show me my blind spots. Help me to be wise. Help me to be godly. Change me. You know, I think it's so easy for us, or at least it's easy for me, to see sin and to note sin in other people. And it's so easy for us, or at least it's so easy for me, to justify my own sin. The word I used the other week, extenuating. Well, yeah, there's this, but only because. But James is saying, no, we hear the word, we've got to apply it to our own lives. And we have to change. This is important. Yes, we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But faith never stays alone. We must live out the Christian life. Now, I think verse 25 is so important, isn't it? Look at verse 25. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. The one who looks into, and the word there is the idea of stooping down. It's used of John stooping down and looking into Jesus' tomb. Who looks into the perfect law of liberty, who looks into the words, and paramenō, who perseveres, or who stays permanent in it, he is the one that will be makarios, who will be blessed in his doing. In other words, you want the blessing of God, then listen and obey and continue and stay permanent in God's words. Now, it's almost as if, isn't it, that John is just copying and pasting his big brother. Doesn't Jesus say something similar to this in John chapter 15? He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and persevere, and that you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy, your makarios, may be full. Abide in his love by keeping his commandments. Now, what word did Jesus use in John chapter 15? He says, ask. Ask, and it will be given to you. Just like James in chapter 1, verse 5 says, ask. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask. Ask God that we would stop, look, and listen, that we would walk faithfully. Now, this is why I think this is so important. The verses 1 through 18 precede verses 19 through 27 because we're reminded that we're not coming to twist God's arm, to mean Mr. God. We're not approaching a snarly God. You've seen the old Oliver Twist, the old black and white film. He's in the orphanage and he goes up to the governor. Please, sir, more, sir. So this is what we're like. Intimidated by God. We've just had 18 verses of how good God is. Reminded that when we ask for this transforming power, we're coming to a God who lovingly crafts our trials, verses 2 through 3, who promises the crown of life, verse 12, who cannot tempt us to sin, verse 13, who gives us every good and perfect gift, verses 17, who's not capricious, who's not whimsical, but is steady and content, verse 17, and who, of his own will, from eternity, chose to save us, verse 18. As we come to God asking for his transforming work, we're coming to the God who is good and generous and for us and selfless and cross-bearing. And he is a loving Father, and we're asking that he would do his work in us. Well, let me close by saying, brothers and sisters, that I believe that God is at work in us, that he is doing a work, that it may feel like at times that our sanctification, our walk with the Lord, is so back and forth, so inconsistent. And it feels like we take one step forward and two steps back sometimes. But God is at work in us. He who began that good work in us will bring it to completion. And the other thing I want to say this evening as I close is, remarkably, God is easy to please. God is easy to please. Sometimes we have this low-grade feeling that he's severe, that nothing's good enough for him, that he's just there frowning at us all the time. We messed up again. But he's not like that. He is easy to please. The confession, the catechism says, believers being accepted through Christ, their good works are also accepted in him. Not as though they were in this life wholly unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight, but that he, looking upon them in his Son, is pleased to accept and reward that which is sincere, though accompanied with many weaknesses and imperfections. Christian, I want to encourage you this evening that God is at work in you, and he is easy to please. Even our compromised good works, done in sincerity, he is pleased to receive, to accept, and reward for the sake of Jesus Christ. Be encouraged by that. And be encouraged as we ask him to continue his work in us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do want to be faithful to you, and we do want to live out our lives faithfully before you, not just hearers, but doers of the word. We want to change. We want to be like Christ. And we thank you this evening, Father, that in the name of Jesus Christ, we can come to you. You do receive us, and you hear our prayers, and you are at work in us, and you will do that work of sanctification. And we pray that you would continue to do it until the day when our flesh is finally and fully put to death, when there are no more temptations. We pray until that day that you will be at work in us, conforming us to Jesus Christ. Help us to hear and to listen to your words. Help us to be faithful to you all the days of our lives. We pray that you would do that for us. We are thankful for what you have done. We're not what we should be, but we are not what we were. And we thank you for the work that you have started in us. We thank you that you are easy to please, that even though your holiness is perfect, you accept for the sake of Jesus Christ even our meager efforts to please you and live for your glory. You are a merciful God, long-suffering and patient with us, and we give you thanks. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.